It's the Red Tag Sales Event at Jeff Weiler Chevrolet of Columbus. Look for the red tags and unlock unbeatable discounts on new and pre-owned Chevys. 0% APR on select new Chevrolet for well-qualified buyers. From the rugged Silverado to the sleek Malibu, every tag means savings. Financing made easy. We'll pay off your trade no matter what you owe. Stop by Jeff Weiler Chevrolet on Gender Road or shop anytime at jeffweilercolumbus.com. That's jeffweilercolumbus.com.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Kelly is done playing games on the recruiting trail. We all know about Lamar Brown, but the big story is what he has done with the off-the-field recruiting staffers. So LSU lost some really talented guys that decided to go elsewhere. Preston Tiffany comes to mind. That's someone that they brought over from Ole Miss. He goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. There are so many staffers that are just gone. So guess what happens? You need to go out there and fill those roles because recruiting in the transfer portal era is very important. But it's not only recruiting, it's talent evaluation. And we're going to talk about that, obviously, with Brian Kelly hiring Sam Petito from Ohio State, Kevin Bolden from Ole Miss, and Jeff Martin from USC. Now, all three of them do have something in common. And to me, the biggest thing is, number one, they do have Louisiana ties, in particular, Sam Petito and Jeff Martin. But the more important thing to me is, well, these three schools have been a thorn in LSU's side over the past three seasons. USC, of course, took LSU's, or should I say Louisiana's, number one overall recruit. So you go get somebody from USC staff and Jeff Martin, who loves LSU. I knew Jeff vaguely when I was living in Baton Rouge. And then, of course, Sam Petito, to me, is the most accomplished of these. Obviously, he's also the oldest. And you can ask Nick Saban this question. Alabama does not have the success that they had if they did not have Sam Petito. Then he leaves because Nick Saban leaves. And guess what happens? The best program in college football right now is probably Ohio State. They hire him, and they win a national championship. Everywhere he goes, he wins. And now he's going to the state that he has his hooks in, family in. He has accomplished as much as you possibly could accomplish as a behind-the-scenes kind of, you know, personnel staffer. But you know deep down he probably wants to get it done in the Pelican State. So Brian Kelly landing all these recruits, spending all this money on staffers, spending all this money in the transfer portal, putting $1 million of his own money towards this roster, he knows that now is the time to build yourself for the future for when you really need a superstar staff to put together rosters like NFL teams put together rosters. Teams have hundreds of recruiters, staffers, scouts from all around the country getting the damn job done for them and just doing scouting report after scouting report, phone call after phone call. Some of those obviously are recruiting. Some of those are obviously talent evaluation. Bolden is just this liaison, a guy that just seems to connect well with others. So I'm really excited about all three of these guys. I have followed Bolden. I remember him being at Arkansas for a while. And as many of you know, I do a lot of Arkansas content on Power Hour SEC. Used to do daily radio in the state of Arkansas. And man, the guy is very, very, very impressive. So really excited about all of these different pickups. Now, also important tonight, your boy is back from Baton Rouge. And obviously, I am extremely biased because I am from Baton Rouge. I was born in Baton Rouge. And my family mostly resides in Baton Rouge. My some of my closest family members flew in from D.C., so made kind of a last-second trip to meet with them. And then I ran into quite a few of you. The craziest was getting stopped out outside of Chick-fil-A, where I was shooting some chicken sandwich review content. I'm starting to do the food stuff. But the funny thing is, as great as all of that stuff is, Baton Rouge is still Baton Rouge, which to me is the best city in the state of Louisiana. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's the safest. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's perfect. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's the best tourist city in Louisiana. I'm not going to tell you it's got the best food in Louisiana. But overall, Baton Rouge is the best city in the state of Louisiana. And I'm going back and forth with this, not only with locals from all these different areas, but prominent national people who have gone on to move to California and all over the place. They will tell you that Baton Rouge is the best city in Louisiana. And I say that because I want recruits that watch this channel to know that Baton Rouge is an absolutely positively incredible city to be a college student in. Absolutely positively incredible. It is still a college town. And on top of that, it does have a bigger city type of vibe mixed in there as well. So it's not just a college town. You really do feel like you're somewhere. So Baton Rouge, I love it. I'm trying to move there, trying to, you know, build up the funds for the wifey and I and Z-Baby to go. But I love it. I really appreciate all the energy and positive vibes. And look, it is fun to get stopped. So anytime you see me in public, stop me. Okay, now it's not like a prominent thing. It happened like once per day while I was there while my dog goes crazy. But what a freaking city. It is literally the best city to me in Louisiana. We say hi to Jared Addison. And we say hi to Jalen, who's coming in hot. Good to see you. He wants to answer the poll question tonight. So you could see attached to our live stream. And if you are watching this live, or if you're watching this down the road, you see a poll question is up. How many LSU pass catchers on this team right here, how many of them have had at least one 40-catch season? How many? Give it your best guess. Is it one, two, three, or four. The only requirement is they have had to have had one 40-plus catch season at the collegiate level. That is it. And the answer might shock you. We'll get to it in just a second. All right. We say hi to LA Mom. We say hi to Tyler as well. Before we get to that, I do want to bring up Lamar Brown yet again. And I will also say the following. I was not there to witness what I witnessed this weekend. So I cannot confirm nor deny this actually was Lamar Brown. But I do want to send a thank you to Lamar because I was in Baton Rouge this weekend. My mother was with me and my aunt who lives in Baton Rouge. They decided to go to the mall. I wasn't with them. And they saw Lamar Brown walking around. Or they told me an LSU football player was walking around. But they said that someone told them it was Lamar Brown. It might not have been, but it was some LSU football player. And they went up and said hi to Lamar Brown. My aunt's a big LSU football fan. She's taught in Baton Rouge for over 30 years. All right. And she said Lamar treated her really well. So, Lamar, thank you so much. My aunt TT means the world to me, and you made her day. If that wasn't Lamar, but a different LSU football player, thank you. But here's the wildest thing is like my aunt has done a lot for athletes and just people in general. The look on our face when I told her that this was a high school football player, not a collegiate player. This is a high school football player. Her jaw hit the floor. She was like, what? He's not playing for LSU this year? Because she saw the news clippings. And, you know, if you don't follow football every day, with Lamar Brown making as much news, it was a national story on ESPN, obviously, you would think he's playing next season. But no, it's the next year. All right? And she said, what? That specimen? That human being? That freak of nature? And I'm paraphrasing. She didn't say that. Is playing against high school students? I'm just going to say it now because I do this with every single recruit. And this is not hyperbolizing or anything. I used to watch way more recruiting tape than I used to. And the reason why I don't do it anymore is because, well, it's just how things are. You know, you don't want to watch too much tape on a kid if he's not going to end up signing with LSU. So I don't do as much of that until it's time for him to make his decision. All right. So I did not sit down and watch like full Lamar Brown games until, let's just say, like a few, like 72 hours before his announcement. This kid is so good. He is so freaking explosive. He jumps off the screen. Emory Jones, his high school tape reminded me of Lamar Brown. And the wildest thing about that is I'm comparing Emory Jones' senior tape to what I saw on Lamar Brown's 10th grade tape. And then that does not include what he just put out there as a junior. We are talking about a really, really, really big time high school football player. Now, here's the thing that I find to be very fascinating because that story is kind of in the rear view. He did something really fascinating. It could backfire. And this will be the ultimate sign of the current day and age in recruiting. And this is something that Jared and I have talked about privately. Jared just doesn't care too much about recruiting anymore, as do some of you. You just don't care. All right. Lamar Brown went above and beyond to tell everybody that he's done. He himself says everything is shut down. So what does that mean? Well, if you're going to say that, that means you're going to be recruiting hard to get as many elite players to LSU. So I found that to be very fascinating. He did not have to do that. That means he is really locked in on being an LSU Tiger. So shout out, obviously, to Frank Wilson, but Kevin Peoples, Blake Baker, really excited for this young man. And I was talking about him as an offensive lineman. He's going to play defensive line, more than likely. But, dude, I'm just telling you right now, that dude is freaking wild. He's that good. He is that freaking good. Now, like I said, in the film study breakdown, I don't like to use the word generational. I'm not going to go that far there. Generational means you have got to, like, I mean, you just got to be so unfreaking believably special. But the thing is, maybe his senior tape is that. You honestly don't know. But I'm really freaking excited about that young man's future. And if it was indeed Lamar, shout out to you. Okay? Now, John Sibley says something interesting here. SEC Media Days is the official kickoff of the season. And I love that SEC Media Days comes out or happens around the time of the college football video game release. I've gotten a few requests to get Andy Staples back on the show because it was a very energetic appearance he had last year. And he is coming back on a couple of weeks from now. So obviously SEC Media Days is next week. Big 12 was last week. The Big 10 is the week after that. So what I want to do here is give you a state of the SEC, a state of the Southeastern Conference, before we preview LSU's SEC Media Days tomorrow. And the simple truth about the SEC is that it has seemed that I have been on an SEC, or should I say an anti-SEC tirade over the last couple of weeks, talking about my want for a nine-game conference schedule. So for me, that does not mean that I am putting down on the SEC being better or worse than the Big Ten. I do think it is better than the Big Ten. I really do. Obviously, compared to last year, the Big Ten did have more teams in the college football playoff. They did have quite a few teams make it far in the college football playoff. But the bottom half of the Big Ten was so ass, whereas the bottom half of the SEC was actually the strongest it has been in a very long time. Meaning, it was a lot harder for the better teams to beat the weaker teams. Whereas in the Big Ten, Washington was way down. Michigan was way down. Purdue was beyond ass. Michigan State was ugh. And you did have some schools take step forwards like Nebraska and Illinois. But still, the bottom of the Big Ten was bottom. And the SEC had quite a few of its teams have stronger seasons. Whereas the tippity-tip top of the SEC, Georgia, ironically, had a tiny down year, which is wild to say. Alabama, for their standards and compared to the SEC, you guys get what I'm saying. Alabama had a down year, which isn't really a shock. But the thing about the SEC that I really do enjoy, and it makes it harder for a school like LSU, is that it is harder to win in the SEC than when it was for Les Miles and Ed Orgeron. It just was. So I say this because we have done so many deep dives in recent weeks over how much better the SEC quarterback play has become. And it is really good. Now, what I would also tell you is I don't think there is an SEC quarterback this year, including Gary Nussmeier, that I would consider to be like Manzellian or Jaden-ish, but I do think there are a few that could jump into that category. I think obviously the two biggest names that come to mind would be Sellers and Nussmeier, because you have seen a little bit from both of them. Some think it's going to be Langway, some think it's going to be Arch, so on and so on, Mateer, whoever. But the more I sit down and watch a Bo Prabula at Missouri, the more I sit down and watch Diego Pavia, who we all know and not love, the more I sat and watched Austin Simmons going back to his high school days, you do begin to see who many consider to be the middle of the SEC at the quarterback position to still be pretty good. So the state of the SEC are a couple of things. It is crazy how much better the offenses are now. It is crazy how much better the quarterbacks are now. It's amazing how much more resources there are at all these schools. Now it's just out in the open, and everybody's got $20.5 million to play with, and then some. It is going to be a really strong year for the SEC this next year. Now, I understand, as an SEC YouTuber, that sounds like me, you know, stooping for my conference, saying, hey, my conference is going to be strong. But the funny thing is, the first SEC media days I attended, I still have the segment somewhere. I was on Radio Row doing my 1,000-watt radio show from Radio Row, and I was saying, hey, I don't think the SEC is that good this year. I said this was like 2016, 2017, and that year it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. This year, I think the conference is going to be really good. I really do think so. So we'll see. Let's go to John Sibley. Carter, are you aware that recruiting protocols are out? It is just the money. Some schools are paying $20K a month to recruits during their senior year so they will sign. Oh, well, go Tigers. Yeah, no, I'll go one step further here on Sibley. There are some schools that are paying kids $20K a month just to be committed. And there's a few reasons for that. Number one is it is a lot easier to sell boosters on star ratings. So if I can just get a 4 or 5 star to commit and pay them $20K a month, it's a lot easier for me to go to Joe Schmo Booster to say, look, we've already got this 4 and 5 star locked in. The Joe Schmoes of the world that really are the needle movers behind the scenes, sometimes I think these types of people are overstated, but they are very important. They like that. Plus, kids that are getting paid that money, yeah, they could pull the rug out from you from signing day, but there's stipulations where you could say, hey, you got to give us all this money back if you don't sign. So that kid feels pot committed, if you will, to sign with you, even if it is just an absolutely god-awful situation and you have to give some of that money back. And honestly, the Nico thing is really helped out some schools in some of these negotiations, right? With Nico's younger brother having to pay back. Actually, I don't know what the full amount was, but he got paid anywhere in the $100,000, $200,000 region. So It's very fascinating that schools are willing to do that. All right. But yes, a lot of it is about the money. Now, going back to Lamar Brown, was it just about the money for Lamar Brown? In this instance, no, because if it was just about the money, you could always go to the highest bidder. And unless it's Bryce Underwood in Michigan, there's always someone out there, to me, that would be willing to pay a little bit more if you are a can't-miss five-star. Now, I say that. Some of them do go to the absolute highest bidder. But, yeah, the money talks. And that's why you need to have all these recruiting staffers. Because just as important as it is for a guy like a Petito to say, look, I think that this guy is very, very, very good. You need someone like Austin Thomas to say, well, how good? How much should we actually pay him? Because he wants this. That'll cost us X amount of our cap. It's crazy. Good to see Cliff last night. We didn't really do an official PHL get-together this time in Baton Rouge. I did get a message about that. I did go to Zippy's last night, though, for a quick marg. Couldn't resist. I was so tired. Had meetings. And yeah, I had an absolutely wonderful time. I did meet with someone that, you know, has some sway when it comes to LSU. Not someone on the current staff or whoever, but someone that I trust, right? And some of you would know this name. And so I met with him briefly. It wasn't anything crazy. And you know, I'm just telling you, the vibes behind the scenes at LSU are really high. They say that they really do feel that something is brewing. Legitimately. Now, once again, you can go back and watch the live streams going into last year. That was not the case. There were some who felt the talent defensively was not where it needed to be going into last year. This year, that is not the case. There are no excuses for this defense to not be good. It's got to be good. Even with all that jumbo schmumbo I said about the quarterbacks being so much better than what it used to be, you've got to put out a good defense. You just do. Even though you don't have, you know, a quarterback that's just ass that you could hold to 1.9 yards per play to really stretch your defensive statistics, Taylen Green might be the worst quarterback you play this year. He's very good. Very flawed, but very good. So, yeah, I would like a chance to do something in BR before the season begins, like officially. So, there you go. Let's see here. I get this message. Carter, did you see the news about Le'Veon Moss? I did. And this comes in from Michael. So Texas A&M has a running back named Le'Veon Moss. He's from Baton Rouge, and he's very good. All right, so when he played us this year, you know, he was banged up, but he had one big run. It was really Marcel Reed that hurt us. But Le'Veon Moss is very good. And, you know, he played at a high school that wasn't all that great in Baton Rouge. I think it was Struma, if I remember correctly. I just remember the team had a losing record in one of his seasons. And there was some I didn't really have a chance to read it, but he was arrested for something. Now, I don't know if he is for sure going to play, but man, I feel for him. I really do. I mean, he could play. He could flat out play. If he's not available for Texas A&M, though, they did return all their running backs from last year. So, it's interesting to see how that room will shake itself out. But always remember this. Every single position group, and in particular running back, it always seems like there's going to be injuries, there's going to be off-the-field stuff. It's a tough position to truly evaluate. And Le'Veon Moss, obviously it ended up hurting us. He could really help us out. But you know, there's so many things that need to go your way at that position for you to have enough to go out there and actually win a title. Okay. And it's interesting because sometimes running backs will get into trouble after they leave your school. They don't get in trouble until the NFL, or stuff doesn't come out until they get to the NFL. We saw this weekend, obviously with one of the better running backs of college football, not only in the SEC and the Big Ten over the past couple of seasons, saw it with Quinshon Judkins. So running back, it's not really a big mystery. We talked about it on here before. There is a lot. Okay, there is a lot of off the field issues with RBs. I don't know why at that position. This is a very anecdotal observation, but it's been that way for a while, enough to be like, man, I would love to know if running backs exponentially find themselves in more trouble than other positions. And maybe there's something to it. I don't know. I don't know. It could just be random. Home of Billy Cannon. How about that? Now, coming up next, really, really, really big news that actually just broke not too long ago in a sport not named football.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY. You're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. Cade Anderson to the Seattle Mariners. Pick number 3. Now, there were some rumors that he could go number 1 overall in Jordan Dylan Cruz in Washington. Obviously, the minor league stuff is a bigger deal in baseball, whereas in football and basketball, you go right to the team. But still, Cade Anderson to Seattle. I honestly don't know if we have any PHLers in Seattle. One of my childhood best friends is a supporter of the channel, but he lives there. Shout out to you, Cade Anderson. Now, I haven't locked in on football and just doing this show. Let me know if there's any other LSU players that have been selected. But we do not win a national championship if Cade Anderson is not Cade Anderson. And look, you can make a strong case that Cade Anderson wanted to win at LSU more than anything else because, you know, he grew up a huge LSU baseball fan. So really excited for Cade. I mean, the dude deserves it more than anyone else on the planet freaking Earth. And yeah, it's kind of crazy, though, because I saw someone compare Cade to Jaden Daniels after, you know, the Paul Skeens to Joe Burrow kind of thing, right? Obviously, Cade happened 2 years after where Jaden was a little bit longer and Cade won the Natty, and obviously Jaden can't play defense. But you can see the parallels where Jaden had arguably the best statistical Heisman season ever. And, you know, I think every LSU fan loves Jaden so much. It just happens, you know, right after the Joe Burrow thing. And Cade Anderson had the season he had right after Paul Skeens had the season he had. So you do see, like, some of the similarities there. But shout out to you. Shout out to you. Welcome back, sports card extraordinaire Cody B. What's up, man? I miss you, dog. Cody B. Freaking rips wax like crazy. Brady Ebel, an LSU baseball commit, just got picked 32nd in the first round. Last thing on baseball before I get back into football. And I understand. I'm a Jay Johnson Glazer. A Jay Johnson Glizzy Gobbler. But I cannot stress enough how much harder it is to win in baseball compared to some other collegiate sports. Now, it's hard to win in all of them. But baseball is so hard. And this is how I feel about all college baseball coaches. I do think this is one of the top three hardest sports to coach. Because, especially at these elite programs, you got to worry about freaking players actually signing and playing professional. You have to worry about that in the NBA. Yeah, G League Ignite. Who's doing that? You have to worry about that in the NFL. They have to go to some college. If they don't go to a college, you're going to Blinn or Hutchinson or wherever. Baseball, you can recruit a player that's too good and they leap your ass and go to the pros. It's crazy. Jeff, what's up, man? Jeff was one of the first ever attendees at a PHL get-together at Stumpy's in New Orleans. Jeff, all the way in Denver, I believe, or somewhere. It's either Denver or Fort Collins, either one. I need to get back out to Denver. I do. By the way, I always shout her out because she shouted me out before. Kelsey Wingert was my classmate. She is the sideline, or I don't think you would call it sideline reporter because there is no sideline. But anyway, she is a reporter for the Colorado Rockies, and she's super talented. Y'all go follow her, Kelsey Wingert. I was a part of a John Boy video. They interviewed me in New Orleans. I had no idea that the clip ever even aired. She tagged me, and I wouldn't have known. So shout out to Kelsey Wingert, and shout out to all our PHLers in Colorado. Oh, you're in the Pittsburgh now. Dang, Jeff. Here you're going from metro to metro, man. You're getting traded. Let's see, who's an LSU player who's been traded a bunch? Russell Gage got traded around a bunch. DJ Chark, shout out to him. He's moved around quite a bit. How about one that had one hell of a weekend, had a very impressive football camp in Marrero, Louisiana? Christian Fulton with the Chargers, the Titans, and now with the Chiefs. The Stumpies was fun. This is a man that actually set up the Stumpies get-together. It was Cliff. I do not know Cliff. I am locked in on you guys. But we do have quite a few of our viewers watching the draft in the background, and Chance will let us know if Anthony Einson does get drafted. Crazy. Now, I want to get into the trivia question. How many LSU Tigers have caught 40-plus catches in a single season? How many? The answer is 4. But it's probably not the 4 you're thinking. Now, before I answer this, it is important to note that Nick Anderson had 38 catches. So it was a close 40 catches. Essentially, he has caught 40 balls in a season. But that wasn't last year, of course. That was the year before. He was injured and missed all of last season. So I want to see, I'm giving the live chat a chance to answer this question. And what are we going to give out? Can you name the 4 players on LSU's team that has caught 40 passes in a season up to this point in their career? All right. Who can answer that in the chat? We'll give away an LSU card over here. First person to answer it will get it. But you have to get the 4 correct. Let's see, who's going to get it? Not many, because LSU ran a Ruby offense for years. But here's the crazy thing about this, is 3 of these players caught 40-plus passes in a season, not at LSU. They're transfers. And I've already taken one out of the equation. No. Currently on the team, can you name the 4 players that have already recorded a 40-plus catch season? Currently on the team. And for our podcast listeners, I hope that somebody could get this. It's tricky. I'm gonna give a hint. One of them is not Chris Hilton. Another one is not Tre'Davious Green. Ooh, Hodges kind of close. Not Destin Hill. He has 6 career catches. Oh, look at Chance. He's getting close. Let's see. And I actually lied. I miscounted. It's actually 5. Yeah, it's actually 5. Huh? I forgot. I meant to put 4 plus. There is actually 5 that have done this. I I I I didn't include Aaron Anderson is out is the most obvious one because he caught 68 passes last year. The answer is five. All right. Let's see. I know, Jalen, I'm an idiot. Is this what happens when you have little sleep and you have to drive a long distance back home? Yes. Not Caden Durham, but I do think Caden Durham could catch 40 passes this year. Could. It is actually five players, though. Which is wild to think about. There you go. We got it. Pegasus was the first to get it. Well, actually, no, you didn't get it. You did not get it. Actually, I didn't. Oh, my God. It is not Donovan Green, no. Five players have caught 40-plus passes. There's a point to all this. Let's see. And is not Donovan Green. We're getting close, though. Actually, it is only four. I confused myself because there's two. Okay, I saw what happened. It is actually just four. Let's see. And you got him. It is Aaron. So, Jay Hodge Sr., congratulations. You are the winner. No, I had Anderson counted twice. I should have written it down. Normally, I write it down. This is one of the few shows I don't like write out a list of prep. But Jay Hodge, you are the winner. I'm going to send you an LSU card. Actually, Penn was a winner. He got it first. Now that I see it, a lot of comments kind of flew in here, and I'm an idiot. So I'm going to send you both cards. So congratulations. All you got to do is send me a message on, Instagram, at PowerHourLSU or email me powerhourlsu@gmail.com. You got it. So it is Berrien Brown. Bauer Sharp, actually, no, you only got three. You put Bauer and Sharp. This is the answer. It's Berrien Brown, Aaron Anderson, Bauer Sharp, and Xavion Thomas. I'll send you one anyway, Penn, because you've been supporting me for so long. All right, you see, you got it at around the same time. Okay. So all you got to do is shoot me a message, email powerhourlsu@gmail.com. Or Instagram at PowerHourLSU. Jay Hodge and Penn, I'll send you both one. Sibley wants me to send you a cigar. Okay. Now, before I share why this is relevant, I do want to open this up to anyone. We are still looking for partnerships going into next year. Obviously, we want to make sure everybody's on the same page. I want to grow your business. We have a super diehard group of 12,000 subscribers. Our film studies generate thousands upon thousands of views, millions of watch time, millions of hours of watch time. So hit me up, powerhourlsu@gmail.com. I think your business will be a great match for us. Okay. Now, why bring this up? Well, oftentimes, when you think of production, normally production predates production. Meaning, if you have put up volume in the past, you're probably a good player. And if you've not put up volume in the past, that could mean, number one, you've not broken out yet. So Tre'Davious Green was only a true freshman last season, playing a position where an all-time great at LSU was ahead of him. also learning that position as the season moved on. So there is a good reason he only caught 13 passes. But it is so hard to catch 40 passes. Really hard. Now, for Bower Sharp, did it really help out that Oklahoma had pure ass everywhere offensively last year, and he was the only player that wasn't hot dog water? Yeah, it helps out. The volume has to go somewhere. He caught 40-plus passes. I think it was 42 to be exact. And the same thing is true with Xavion Thomas. A few years ago at Mississippi State, he caught 40-plus passes. A lot of it was some garbage time stuff. So, to Penn's point here, that many over 40 means an explosive offense. Yeah. It could also mean that it's going to be crowded. It is going to be crowded. And number two, multiple players will have their feelings hurt. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. So why does that matter? Well, the SEC Media Day representative for the pass catchers for LSU is Chris Hilton tomorrow. He has not caught 40 passes. I do think 40 is a pretty big number for college football. And it's honestly just simple math. It's not the NFL where if you are an every down receiver, you're probably going to play a lot of snaps. College, you can have as many talented receivers on any roster you want with the portal and recruiting and roster limits. Log jams exist in almost every wide receiver room in the SEC. Number two, not everyone has good quarterback play or quarterbacks that are willing to throw. So even with Garrett Nussmeier, who is probably a receiver's favorite quarterback to play with. Number one, he doesn't take sacks. Number two, he throws with a lot of anticipation. And number three, he doesn't scramble. And number four, LSU is still going to be a more pass-happy team than most. This is a wide receiver's dream to play with a guy like Garrett Nussmeier. Well, if you're going to do that, it is going to be very hard to put up big numbers. So there's going to be so much Chris Hilton hype even after tomorrow because LSU picked, out of all their pass catchers, him to represent this entire team. And I'm high on Chris Hilton going into next season. But putting up volume is hard. You've got to stay healthy. You got to find ways to get open. Even when the offense isn't working, you got to make shit happen. And on top of that, catches are sometimes schemed. Right? Even though Oklahoma's offense was awful, and Bower Sharp caught a lot of passes on screens and whatnot, they still made it a point to get him the football. So there might not be this Malik Nabers or even a guy like DJ Chark where it's just a clear-cut alpha or two guys that are the clear-cut alphas. It's going to be hard. It is going to be really, really, really hard. And 40 is a relevant number. And it's a stat that we have shared all the time here on PHL. It is so hard as an out-of-state wide receiver to put up 40-plus catches. Last year, CJ Daniels was the first wide receiver at LSU from out of state to put up 40-plus catches in a single season since Terrence Tolliver in 2010. The first. But he did that in a pass-happy offense where there was a lot of target competition. So it's doable. Obviously, there's going to be multiple for me, 40-plus yard or 40-plus catch guys. But, you know, this is a really hard position to succeed at LSU. Wide receiver and tight end, because you're competing against the best DBs, and you're also competing against the best wide receivers in your own room. But yeah, Penn, this means that this offense has plenty of capable people. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be elite. Does not mean that at all. Let's see here. Edward O says people are not talking about Trey S. Green enough. Hey, we had a guest on here recently say, get the gold jacket ready for Trey S. Green. He said he could be a gold jacket guy. And that, of course, was friend of the channel, Blake Ruffino. But, man, I didn't love his blocking, I'll be honest, which is why I am hoping Trey S. Green is going to be a really good blocker this year. But Bauer Sharp is a good football player. I don't think he's elite. I don't think any of that. But he is good. Oklahoma fans didn't love him because he did some crazy things. But then again, how many tight ends week in and week out were being asked to do reverse passes? You know, he had a few disasters versus Ole Miss. Well, that was the best defense in the country. You had one versus LSU. Bauer Sharp, that was genius. Because Bauer Sharp gave a softball interception to Sage Ryan. And that softball interception showed up on Lane Kiffin's desk, which led Ole Miss to go get Sage Ryan. Bauer Sharp was an undercover LSU agent, getting one of our biggest games of the season, Ole Miss, to go get our worst DB to go play for them. And Bauer Sharp in return comes to LSU. I didn't mean to spoil Bauer Sharp's LSU plan, but he did that on purpose. Threw it to Sage Ryan on purpose. Sorry, Bauer. I blew your cover. There you go, Jason. Yeah. I think Jason just sent me his address, and I'm going to give it to all of y'all right now. All right. So I need everybody to show if you can win this card. Jason just sent me his address for winning the trivia. This card, you can just wait at Jason's mailbox and take it from him. I'm giving it. His address is 2. I'm kidding. There is a 2 in there, though. LA Mama, gold jacket is what you get when you enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, Pegasus, that's a question. I don't know.
I really don't know.
You know, one thing I feel is going to be important, and if I were Cortez Hankton, I would go into the wide receiver room every day and use the following sentence as leverage, saying, look, all of you wide receivers are good. Three of you have caught 40-plus passes in a season. And the one who hasn't is probably the fastest and most talented guy that we have. And he's going to SEC Media Days tomorrow. What I will do is if you block the best, you will play. Now, how did LSU's wide receivers block last season? I'll leave it at that. I think BTJ and Malik Nabers were both very good wide receivers and very good blockers. We were fine. I don't think it was just atrocious last year. You really see poor wide receiver blocking, ironically, more so in really good run games at times, because if your run game is just disastrous from the start, normally the wide receiver blocking doesn't really like show up a whole lot, if that makes sense. So, but yeah, I would say that every day if I was Cortez Hankton. And he's probably already been saying that for a while now. But that might actually be the difference. How good of a run blocker are you? Now, here's what you're going to do. Next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going all night. I kind of want to go all night. I cannot stress enough how great of a city Baton Rouge is. I know it has its blemishes. I know it's got its flaws. I understand, totally understand why a lot of people that have lived in Baton Rouge your whole life don't like living there for a lot of different reasons. Totally get it. This is not a political or socioeconomical stream. And I understand, you know, when I visit, I'm only there for a few days. I'm not dealing with traffic and all of that every single day. But I just think Baton Rouge just has a little bit of everything when it comes to all the Louisiana cities. Obviously, if someone were to ask me, hey, I'm going on vacation, should I go to Baton Rouge or New Orleans? You know, I would probably lean towards New Orleans because to me, there's four cities in America that are just so different than the rest of them. It's D.C., New York, Vegas, New Orleans. So, I would totally understand that. But Baton Rouge is just my city. It's my favorite city. And we got a few Arkansas Razorbacks going off the MLB draft board. You know, Arkansas will think about that game for the longest. But, you know, it kind of makes what Cade Anderson did even, like, crazier. Because, like, Cade Anderson was so unfreaking believably dominant in the World Series that it's wild to think that he really didn't end up being the story because he didn't pitch the final game. He also got overshadowed by a no-hitter. And in many ways, give Gage Wood his credit, give him his flowers and all of that. But Cade versus Arkansas, I mean, that is an all-time performance. I mean, it really is like insane how good he was in that game. And that Arkansas team was loaded. I mean, that was their year. And ask any Arkansas fan. I mean, that was their year. But if your player of the year is given a 6-4-3 to turn it, you go to second. Hogs are going to hog. It is nothing Arkansas can do. It is already written in the stars, in the universe, in the ether. Nothing Arkansas could have done. I think it could have been any. I think you could have flipped every single player. You switch your jerseys, and the result would have been the same. And any Arkansas fan will tell you that. Here's a question from LA Mom. And LA Mom, once again, I really appreciate your support. How did I end up at LSU for college? Very good question. So all of my family lives in Baton Rouge. And it's just that simple. Yeah, when I went to LSU, because I didn't go to high school in Louisiana, I was moving closer to my family, which is in Baton Rouge. And for my final few college years, I lived with family. And ironically, the family that I lived with, my closest non-immediate family member also lives in Baton Rouge. And she's been viral on here on PHL. She was also the one that ran into Lamar Brown, the Lemony Twang smoothie. And you have to be like a super diehard PHLer to remember that. I wasn't even on this channel. But yeah, Baton Rouge is my favorite city. It's just that simple. But I also tell you this, I love Fayetteville too. I love Athens, Georgia. I actually ran into a Georgia Bulldog fan in New York City, and I talked to him for an hour in Times Square, of all places. And we talked SEC football. It's me, him, and someone that lived in Gainesville. I could live in Athens. Dude, Athens, Georgia is a great city. Great city. And ironically, I'll be in Oxford on Saturday. For work. Lane Kiffin hit me up. Let's go have lunch. Yeah, so yeah, Mason Taylor and Thaddeus Moss both had 40 catches. I was just saying wide receivers, right? Which obviously is a different position group. So that was always a stat, wide receiver. But tonight we're just talking about pass catchers. That was that trivia question. So obviously it's still impressive that Thaddeus Moss and Mason Taylor did that. Yeah, Penn. You know Penn's a diehard with that. Let's go to Pegasus. Carter, in a steel cage match, you can use one of any trophy you want to defend yourself. Ooh. That is a crazy question. Honestly, you want to know what my answer would be? You know, some would say like the Stanley Cup, but that's too heavy. It would probably be the World Cup trophy because I got to see the original World Cup trophy in New York City, and there was a lot of security around that, right? That's the most iconic trophy in the world. That is one, like, that's something you can actually swing and cause serious trauma and hemorrhage. I would go with that. That's good. I've been to Austin once, loved it. But I didn't really get to experience it. I was there for stand-up. I love Austin. Austin's definitely the... well, you would say it's probably the biggest SEC city. Is Austin... Does Austin have more people now than Nashville? I don't know. I really don't know. It's weird, Elima. I did an interview with... I don't remember her name. She's a female YouTuber in Austin. And I recorded this a few weeks ago, and she said, I don't know when I'm going to release it. And she lives in Austin. And Baton Rouge and Austin are very similar. So Austin has a top 10 population in the country. There you go. Oh, your son's going to go and kill Tony Penn? Well, let me know. I tweeted this out the other day that from a pure stand-up comedy talent standpoint, Tony Hinchcliffe is probably a little overrated as like a stand-up, but as a roast comic, he's underrated. He's probably the best roast comic in the world right now. But to me, the best comedian that goes on Kill Tony is Adam Ray. They're the best talent on Kill Tony is Adam Ray. I'm a big Adam Ray believer. I met him at the Super Bowl. Talked to him briefly. But Adam has gotten so big now that like this underrated he's gotten so big. I mean, he's selling out theaters now, so it's not like a big statement anymore. Let's see. Is there anything else I wanted to get to? Sunday nights can always get weird. One thing I will say, and it's impossible to really keep up with this. I will say I want to thank, and I'll keep this person anonymous. There is a player's parent who sends me some weightlifting numbers of some of the players, but it is amazing to me how hard these college athletes lift weights. Like, I know you see like the viral clips. So there was one of Jack Pyburn lifting recently, one of Zion Williams, who's a freshman, and he's doing a gazillion pounds on squats. Y'all, that is so much freaking weight. Like, it is so much weight to the point where you really got to be a psycho to do it. Like, it doesn't, just because you max out at whatever weight doesn't make you a better football player. Jalen Hurts maxing out at 600 on squats, which is still ridiculous for a QB, by the way. That doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but it shows you how freaking competitive these guys are. Like, you know, you put too much weight, your leg can snap. Now, once again, they wear knee braces, and these strength coaches are so good now that, you know, their form is amazing. But y'all, it is so much freaking weight. Yeah, I've been squatting pretty consistently, and I have relatively large legs for an unathletic person. I struggle with 245s on both sides, getting like 10 reps up. Like, it, and these dudes have four 45-pound weights on each side, and it's nothing. Like, it's just absolutely nothing. So, shout out to, and you know, this isn't just an LSU-specific thing, but this was relayed to me that a lot of guys in that room are really taking the art of this very seriously. It's crazy. I have Pegasus. I appreciate that. Every time someone says that to me, I'll always show some love. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, Jared, I would if you would have said, hey, which city is bigger, I would have told you Nashville. I would have told you Nashville is has a larger population than Austin. Austin's like a crazy city, though. Some of the biggest YouTubers live in Austin now that just do YouTube, not comedy or art or anything like that. They just do YouTube. All right. This was a really fun live stream. I'm starting to get in. I don't feel like I'm near my peak yet. I feel like I gave y'all a good show tonight, but not where it needed to be. I could always do better. Really excited, though. Andy Staples coming on here in a few weeks. Love it. I think Andy is arguably the best college football media personality. Now, I wouldn't quite call him the best. Like, obviously, like a guy like Ross Dellinger is a great reporter. But I think when you factor in the podcasting, everything, I'm a huge Andy Staples fan. Glad to call him a friend. And he will be on with us in a few weeks. We'll also have Dave Shoemate on Tuesday night. Pretty excited about that. I like Dave. He's locked in for Tuesday, and he will be live from SEC Media Days. So tomorrow, we tend to overrate the actual Media Days portion, and we'll see what happens there. To me, the big story though is getting Jeff Martin back to LSU. I'm really excited about that. Obviously. Bolden coming over from Ole Miss. But Sam Petito, dude, that is just so cool. I mean, he was so critical for Saban and Ohio State last year, and now he's here. It's crazy. Yeah, Chance, it's also one of those things, though. I kind of want to peak in the summer. You know, it is easier because you just have more viewers during the football season because I don't. Like, I cover college baseball, but not crazy. I kind of want to be at my best in the summer because it's just harder. It's harder to be entertaining and all that stuff. Big shout out to our super chatters tonight. Jared, Penn, and Sibley takes home the top crown. Shout out to Penn and Mr. Hodge. Jason, I gave out his address a little bit earlier. So go back and listen to it because he's getting a card. LSU card. I don't know which one yet. We'll talk to you soon, guys. S Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight. We are doing... Oh, we're doing Tolos. Let's go. Uh-oh. Dude, I thought about you this weekend. I'm not going to lie. Because I went bowling in BR this weekend with some family. The Master Lester. What's up, man? Tonight, we are doing Rotolos. Let's go. Let's go.